The Mike is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. You know, before I move on to this New York Times piece, which I really enjoyed, and I'm going to read some of it. Of course, I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to torture everyone out there. But I have to make mention of something, Jared. We spent a decent amount of time in that first hour covering the pro-abortion activists who are blockading the streets near the Supreme Court. And it dawned on me. And yeah, we probably spent more time on that than any of the networks spent talking about the insane lunatic who tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh. That wasn't a story that really spoke to the people in the mainstream media newsrooms. They were much more concerned with Liz Cheney's latest monologue and the edited, put-together videos of Ivanka Trump saying that she believed Bill Barr. That was really what was on top of their minds over the weekend. But let's play the Bill Maher cut because I know I won't get to it later. Once we start up with this. This is Bill Maher commenting on the double standard. Cut 12.
I think your point, and the point I would agree with, is the New York Times buried this.
Yeah, it was like a tiny thing below the fold.
If this had been a liberal Supreme Court justice that someone came to kill, it would have been on the front page. And that's what's so disappointing about a paper like the New York Times. Because they just wear their bias on their sleeves. And they, if it's not part of something that feeds our narrative,
We bury it. And that's exactly what they did. But while we talk about those protesters and those activists and those wannabe assassins, I feel like we're forgetting about other activists who don't get as much attention. So over the weekend, there was a lot of talk about these groups like Ruth Sent Us and Shut Down DC or whatever the groups are called. And I bet you didn't hear about this activist. Black Lives Matter activists arrested after hundreds of cockroaches released in New York courthouse. So let's not get so caught up in the bullhorns. Sometimes the loudest activist gets above the fold more than I would argue the most creative activists. This activist was a far left person, allegedly, according to this report. If you had to guess, Jared, would you have guessed? I could never guess the politics of these people. When I hear Black Lives Matter activist releases cockroaches into a courthouse, I don't automatically think radical progressive.
That sounds like classic MAGA gang to me.
Could be a Bernie bro, though. You never know. So a prominent far-left activist that co-founded the Black Lives Matter chapter in upstate New York was arrested after hundreds of cockroaches were released inside an Albany courthouse on Tuesday during a planned demonstration. Planned feels a little bit generous. Saying I'm going to release cockroaches somewhere. How much of a plan is that, really? I wouldn't call that a three-pronged plan. Seems like you got to plan A and you just went with that. They wanted to... This woman, Kliana Lightborn, has been charged with obstruction of governmental administration, tampering with physical evidence, resisting arrest, and disorderly conduct. During the arraignment of four activists, including Lightborn, audience members began protesting inside of the courtroom. I hope, as I had said in the first hour, that they had their chance a little bit more put together. And I don't know if this is just how I feel, but if you look back at the 70s and the 80s, those chants had rhythm to them. You know, there was some structure. There was some rhyming. Iambic pentameter. Iambic pentameter.
Yes, it wasn't just swearing through a bullhorn.
No, you got to have, there's got to be a little cohesion. Well, according to reports, sources told the Washington Times that Lightborn attempted to get her phone back from officers after it was confiscated. At some point during the commotion inside the courtroom, cockroaches had been smuggled into the courtroom and plastic containers were released. I wonder how fast that works, you know? I'm thinking of when you have horses before a horse race and you open up the blinders or whatever and they just go. If you say, release the cockroaches, I wonder if you have to give them a little.
No, they just start skittering right away.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, they just, the minute there's space, especially if it's in a courtroom with light, they just start.
They're going everywhere.
Flying everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, that is inconvenient. This is what I mean, though. Sometimes it's not the loudest. Sometimes it's like, it's just an annoying thing. And according to this story, a spokesperson for the Albany Courthouse said that taxpayers shouldn't foot the bill for these actions, and she wants these activists to have to pay for the cost of the fumigation. We'll see. I have a feeling they might not ever get the bill for that, but maybe I'm just a pessimist. All right, now let's move on to this New York Times story. As always, the lines are open, 844-500-4242. The reason I took an interest in this is, first of all, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on, I believe it was CNN over the weekend. And she was asked whether or not she's going to throw her support behind Joe Biden in 2024. She's a perfect person to ask because she has been, I would say, out of all Democrats, the most like vocally, maybe not the most, but she's been pretty vocally unhappy with this administration at times. She tends to pull the strings as far as the Democrats go now. She, at one point, Nancy Pelosi said that her faction, the squad, was like four or five people. Remember Pelosi said that? That's like four or five people. And well, that four or five people now calls the shots. They brought in their Trojan horse with Joe Biden, and now they are doing whatever they want. So she is asked whether or not she will endorse Biden in 2024. Take a listen to her response. This is Cut 11.
Before we go, I just want to ask about President Biden. He is saying he's going to run again in 2024. Will you support him?
You know, if the president chooses to run again in 2024, I mean, first of all, I'm focused on winning this majority right now and preserving a majority this year in 2022. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I think if the president has a vision, and that's something certainly we're all willing to entertain and examine when the time comes.
That's not a yes.
Yeah, you know, I think we should endorse when we get to it. But I believe that the president has been doing a very good job so far. And, you know, should he run again, I think that I think we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
But right now we need to focus on winning a majority instead of a presidential election.
I get the feeling she won't take a look at it.
Yeah, if I'm Joe Biden and I hear that, I'm angry. I mean, he's kind of angry all the time at this point, but
she danced around that answer more than she danced in that video of her on the rooftop.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the laughing. It's the laughing that lets you know when someone starts. If you ask somebody a question and they're that's a really good question. That's a sign. That's a sign right there. And, you know, it really does sound like she's the one who's going to decide, doesn't it? By the way she's framing it. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that. It's like you're asking your boss for a raise. Yeah, we'll look at that. We'll look at it and we'll get back to you. She's the boss. She's in charge. And Joe Biden would be lucky to get a thumbs up from AOC. I agree with Jared. Does not sound like she's going to give him one. She keeps saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Since when do we only talk about things when they're imminent? Because I'm pretty sure for the last few years she's been talking about the end of the earth. That's 12, 14, 15, 16 years away. And we're just talking about 2024. If anything, she should be telling us right now, because who knows how much longer we have here on
blah,
Earth.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thanks to global warming. So we really should nail this down. Who's going to be running in 2024? Now, the New York Times ran with this piece. Should Biden run in 2024? Democratic whispers of no start to rise. It's a double whammy.
By the way, once you're commissioned, remember, I'm your commander-in-chief.
Kind of a double whammy that they say whispers, because they know that that's Joe Biden's favorite thing, is to whisper. In interviews, dozens of frustrated Democratic officials, members of Congress, and voters expressed doubts that the president's ability to rescue his reeling party and take the fight to Republicans. I'm going to skip around here, and I'll be reading this during this hour, and if you have an idea for Democrats, if you think you have someone who they're overlooking, feel free to weigh in. A lot of Democrats have been expressing their frustrations with President Biden's
struggling
to advance the bulk of his agenda, doubting his ability to rescue the party from a predicted midterm trouncing. See, right there, I think that's dishonest. Like, rescuing the party that he has helped sink to the bottom of the ocean feels like a weird way to put it. You know, rescuing the party as if he has nothing to do with their current predicament. I would say he is the captain of this Titanic, and he's the one who fell asleep as they were heading toward an iceberg. The bulk of his agenda, doubting his ability to rescue the party, and increasingly viewing him as an anchor that should be cut loose in 2024. As the challenges facing the nation mount and fatigued base voters show low enthusiasm, Democrats in union meetings are quietly worrying about Mr. Biden's leadership, his age, and his capability to take the fight to former DJT a second time. Interviews with nearly 50 Democratic officials, as well as with disappointed voters who backed Mr. Biden in 2020, reveal a party alarmed about Republicans' rising strength and extraordinarily pessimistic about an immediate path forward. They're worried that these Republicans are going to pounce and seize and weaponize on the fact that the party is struggling to advance their agenda. And let me tell you something.
Struggling.
I have no doubt that we are. I have been pouncing and seizing and weaponizing, but I haven't even gotten started yet. We're going to finish this. It's a really, the piece goes into all sorts of things, including Biden's age, which if you haven't gotten this memo yet, spoiler alert, Joe Biden's pretty damn old. We'll get into that. We'll get into other Democrats that they think might have a better shot than Joe at 2024. And we'll take your ideas, your suggestions. We're always trying to help Democrats. You know, if they can tune in and get some ideas from us, then that's even better. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack is back. And we get asked all the time if it really works. What do you use it for? Where do you use it? I use it in my kitchen because a lot of times I'm either cooking up steak or eggs. And I love those kind of foods, but they do tend to get really stinky after a while. You just turn on the thunderstorm and the smell is gone. Other people use it for allergies. Pollen right now is really crazy. But it's also great for musty basements, right, Jared?
Yeah, if you have stuff stored in your basement like I do, a modest comic book collection, you need to keep it fresh, you need to keep it clean, you don't want that damp smell to get in and permeate the paper or anything like that, so you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because like anywhere else in the house, you just plug it in, you turn it on, and it ionizes the air, and that's what creates that super oxygen. It keeps the air moving, it eliminates odors like must, cigar smoke, pet smells, anything that might be down in the basement. It gets rid of it. It doesn't just cover it up. It eliminates it.
Yeah, and it also doesn't take up any floor space. It's small enough to hold in your hand. You plug it right into the wall. It's off of the floor. It's easy to use. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Before we go back to 2024, I did want to finish up a little bit here with this Financial Times piece because I find it really interesting. A lot of people are wondering, you know, if the Biden administration is suddenly giving the green light to all of these different companies, these producers of oil, and it's still not happening. What is the holdup? And the Financial Times breaks,
what's that all about?
They break it down. But before we even have their breakdown, let's take a listen back to some of the chilling messages that Biden was sending before he took over. This is during his 2020 campaign. This is by RNC Research. And I just think it's important to know that you can't have it both ways. You can't be the guy who's going to transition us away from fossil fuels, the guy who's going to end our obsession, our terrible, greedy obsession with oil, and bring us all these clean electric vehicles. And then the second that transition hits a hiccup, and you leave us all in the lurch and gas prices are $5 a gallon and you don't have a backup plan, then that's when you say, oh, we're producing a ton of stuff. We're actually producing more than Trump. Well, which is it? Because I'm old enough to remember a few months ago when you guys were bragging about killing this industry. And yet you almost have to laugh that now they go back to this industry, just like they go back to Saudi Arabia, hat in hand, and say, can you guys click the switch back on and bring back more oil, please? We're getting, you know, people are really mad at us. They keep seeing the billboards, and we want the billboards to go away. You have to imagine these producers are laughing and going, oh, now you want to be our friend. Now you want us to help you. So this is cut one. This is super cut.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
I guarantee you. We're going to end fossil fuel.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipeline infrastructure?
New pipeline, exactly.
No more, no new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
I've argued against any more oil drilling or gas drilling on federal lands.
No one's going to build a coal-fired plant again, and we're going to get rid of the ones we have now.
Have a transition from the oil industry, yes.
Would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes.
So now he's surprised. Now he's surprised that they're all not buddy-buddy with Joe Biden and that some people are hesitant to invest money in this industry. Financial Times writes, but it's not been quick enough for the administration, which wants a rapid ramp-up to douse the price rise. Producers say they cannot flip the switch and return overnight to the drill baby drill era of rampant growth that drove the shale boom of the last decade. One factor behind the reticence is Wall Street, which was burnt by huge losses as domestic oil companies consistently poured revenues into ever greater growth. Today, shareholders are demanding returns. Investors' demands are being heated over those of the White House. The amount of cash generated by operators this year is set to be greater than the total earned over the past two decades. Still, the number of rigs and frack fleets in the field has climbed since the depths of the pandemic, when negative U.S. oil prices forced operators to slam on the brakes. The growth has largely been attributed to smaller private operators, which do not face the same shareholder pressure as their larger public counterparts. And I just want to finish this here really quickly. Moody's reckons private operators will boost capital spending by 49% this year, growing output by 12%. By contrast, public companies will increase their capital outlay by half that rate for a meager 3% production boost. Producers also say that soaring input costs and supply chain constraints prevent them from ramping back overnight, even if they wanted to. And if you ask the Biden White House, they're either in denial about any of this or they say it's Putin's fault, when really that the issue, and it can't be all blamed on one person or one President administration, Putin. But maybe it can. But the issue is a lot more complicated than that. It's more complicated than shrugging your shoulders and saying, Putin, Putin. They think Putin's like Beetlejuice. If they say Putin three times, maybe the billboards with the gas prices will change. That's not going to happen. And that actually brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How would you describe the economy? Bad vibes, Biden boom, Putin's price hike tax, or thank you, Brandon?
I got to go TYB. Thank you, Brandon.
81% of the audience says, thank you, Brandon. Second place goes to bad vibes at 15%, 3% for the Biden boom, and just 1% for Putin's price hike tax.
And we will be talking about the economy a little later, but when we come back, I want to finish off with this New York Times article that interviews all these Democrats who are whispering, we don't think Joe Biden can be president in 2024. They also have Howard Dean in here.
I'm not the president.
We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio,
This morning, prices across the country are as high as summer temperatures. With inflation at a 40-year high, that means we're paying more for almost everything. Food is up more than 10% from last year. Housing up 5.5%. You're paying 37% more for airfare. And gasoline up a whopping 48.7%. AAA numbers show the national average at over $5 per gallon.
Absolutely ridiculous. Can't go anywhere anymore.
That was from NBC's Today Show. You can't go anywhere anymore. You know what I was just thinking? I was talking to the mail manager about this earlier, whether people are still going to, you know, make their travel to the Cape, to, you know, a body of water in the summer, to their family trips, whether it be Maine, New Hampshire, when gas is so high. And it obviously depends on every person. But I can't help but I was thinking of what kind of spin the Biden White House would put on that. Like, you can't go anywhere. But that's even better because, you know, you can enjoy your backyard or whatever they would say.
If you don't leave, your groceries won't go bad.
Yes. There's always,
you pay so much for.
There's always a silver lining that they can come up with. But you know what I was thinking about, Jared? When I was in kindergarten, I might have talked about this before, and this is no shade to my kindergarten teachers. They were lovely, lovely people. But they had this idea, and they said, everybody go home tonight, get a suitcase, and pack it up with anything you want for vacation. You can pack anything you want. And came in the next day, my best friend, Katie, she was there. She had her suitcase. I had my suitcase. And I said to her, what did you pack in your suitcase? And she said, I packed my figure skates and my ear mufflers. And I said, oh. And she said, what did you pack in your suitcase? I said, a bathing suit and, you know, a beach cover up and a towel and sunblock. And I thought, this is weird. I don't know how we're going to go to all these places in one day. And then the teacher said, okay, everyone, grab your suitcases and follow me. And we walked down the hallway. And she said, close your eyes and imagine wherever you packed your bags for. And we walked down the hallway and then we walked back. We came into the classroom and sat back down. And that was the trip. And I remember thinking, what a ripoff! I was furious. I think I got emotional. I got misty-eyed because I was like, I thought I was going in a swimming pool. And I walked down the hall, past the girls' bathroom, and back. And then it's like, now I have to unpack this when I get home. I'm humiliated. My brothers are going to be saying, oh, how'd the trip go? I'm going to be saying, it didn't work out.
You got good blood, kid.
There was a miscommunication. But I think that was what the Biden administration should maybe start to work on, is everyone pack your bags, sit in your living room, close your eyes, and envision wherever you want to go.
You know what? You can have a staycation. Just go in your basement for like a year. You too can be president.
Yeah, yeah. You can envision yourself in the White House, in Joe Biden's bunker. Yeah, that's a good idea. But if none of those things seem appealing and you still want to travel, I have good news. We are giving away a gas money winner today. We give this away every single weekday. Howie also gives it away. So you could win $50 on my show or on Howie's show. And all you have to do to enter is go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter your email. Totally free to enter and you will be on the list. You don't have to re-enter every day. You just enter your email once. You're on the list forever. You're in the drawing. So today's winner, and a big congratulations, goes to Joseph from Dudley, Massachusetts.
You won! You did it!
All right, Joseph. So pack your bags, Joseph. You're going anywhere you want to go. Pack your figure skates and your bathing suit. You just hit the jackpot.
Walk down the hall and come right back.
Come right back. All right, now let's get to this piece in the New York Times. It's President, should Biden run in 2024? You know what my answer is. Heck yes! But I guess the answer...
I don't know. To be clear,
the answer amongst the Democrats is, the whisper is, no,
I'm not the president.
I feel like the fact that they wrote whisper in the headline is a subtle dig at Joe. Like they're trying.
Yeah,
to,
that's mean girl stuff.
But you know what I will say, Jared, and I've talked about this before. I think that the second they say the words, and I've been waiting, I've been doing my research, doing my fair share of research. Once the New York Times or Politico or Axios or any of these far left outlets, NBC, CNN, once someone writes cognitive decline, then that is the bat signal. You know, that is release the cockroaches.
But pay your fair share.
Do you like how I did that? Release the cockroaches. That could be
very nice.
Yeah. I tied it in. If you missed what I'm talking about, you have to go back and listen to our podcast. Go to gracecurlyshow.com and check out the podcast. Otherwise, it's an inside joke. But yeah, I think once they say cognitive decline and they write that in the papers, then that means it's fair game, that anyone can throw their hat in the ring.
Biden's losing it.
So let's get to the problem here, according to the New York Times. They're 2 years too late on this, by the way. There's nothing in here that I couldn't have told them 2 years ago. So they're worried about the president's sagging approval ratings, and the party seems to feel sorry for him. Most top elected Democrats were reluctant to speak on the record about Mr. Biden's future. Well, no explanation needed for that. And no one interviewed expressed any ill will toward Mr. Biden, to whom they are universally grateful for ousting Mr. Trump from office. In other words, not being Trump is still enough to garner some degree of loyalty from these people. Some degree, though. It's not full loyalty anymore. That has left Democratic leaders struggling. Now, I'm not keeping count here or anything, but that's the second struggling I've seen, and we're only on... That's the third? No, I think I said one twice. We'll do a double check, but yeah, I think this is the second struggling, and we're only on the second page of this piece. But don't worry, there's enough struggling to go around here. That has left Democratic leaders struggling to explain away a series of calamities for the party that all seem beyond Mr. Biden's control. Oh, no! In other words, he's a victim of circumstance. He's got no control over this. These things are just happening to him. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Inflation rates unseen in four decades, surging gas prices, a lingering pandemic. I love all these words, so descriptive. It also talks about mass shootings, talks about the Supreme Court poised to end the federal right to an abortion. In key congressional Democrats' refusal, now this is my favorite part. We're going to tie a lot of sound into this piece. This is part of what they think is not Biden's struggle, but part of the problems that Biden has no control over, which are affecting his popularity amongst Democrats. Just so you're following. Key congressional Democrats' refusal to muscle through the president's Build Back Better agenda or an expansion of voting rights. Now, that is code for it's Joe Manchin's fault. When you can't blame Trump and you can't blame Putin and you can't blame it on the rain, you can blame it on Joe Manchin. He's suffered enough from the kayakers who are screaming. No bullhorns, but they didn't need them. Their voices were loud enough. So they're blaming Joe Manchin. And here's the ironic part of this. A lot of Democrats, including Democrats at Morning Joe on MSNBC, are talking about how Joe Manchin actually probably is the only thing that has saved us from already entering a recession. You heard that right. This is a clip. This is from MSNBC. This is Steve Rattner and Joe Scarborough, who I'm sure 6 months ago would have been condemning the despicable actions of Joe Manchin, who refused to get on with the Build Back Bagel Backstreet Back agenda.
Desecration.
Yeah, and they would have told Joe Manchin, Joe Scarborough would have said, stay away from blenders, Joe Manchin, if you're too stupid to understand how great Build Back Better is. Listen to what he's saying now. Cut seven.
Exactly what happens. And my God, I just wonder what would have happened if progressives had gotten their $6 trillion wish earlier this year.
Yeah, in an ironic way, you almost have to thank Joe Manchin for blocking that, because $6.5 trillion of spending in this economy would make these numbers look small. Yeah, look, we had a huge budget deficit. We had an unbelievably aggressive reaction by the Fed to the pandemic. You can kind of understand why they were trying, but they just tried too hard. And now we're all going to pay the consequences in a very, very tough environment over the next year or two while this gets sorted out.
You know what? You know what I don't get about that? Why is it in an ironic way? Oh, do we have the answer? Oh.
In a way, I wouldn't even say ironically thank Joe Manchin. You can just thank Joe Manchin if you're glad that interest rates aren't even.
Hold on. I gotta say this. I have not heard that full cut. That was a genuine question I had. I'm frightened, Jared, that Joe Scarborough and I are on the same page right now. Is the moon in retrograde? What is happening? Yeah, I don't get it either. Why do you have to say ironic? I get it because, like, Joe Manchin's no persona non grata in the Democrat Party. Hiss, boo. But no, there's nothing ironic about it. He was right. You were wrong. Country roads, take me home to the place. Mountain mama. Yeah, no, I really like Joe Manchin. And here's the funny part is that Joe Manchin, not ironically, by the way, just I like him. Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are like the bravest politicians we have because they are the only, they held the line against the kayakers and the crazy Karens who follow people into bathrooms to get what they want. And it's taken less than 6 months for, I don't want to say normal Democrats because Joe Scarborough is nothing close to normal, but for the beautiful people in the mainstream media to already say they were wrong. So thank God we had Joe Manchin.
I just have to point out, credit to Joe Scarborough for realizing this, but also Joe, I mean, Joe Scarborough is only praising the white male in the room. He had no praise for Kyrsten Sinema, as we talked about, the bisexual congresswoman.
Yeah, and I'm not into giving these liberals strange new respect when they're right on something every 15 million years, especially because the only reason he's admitting that now is because he sees the writing on the wall for the midterms. He understands people are ticked off. His ratings are probably plummeting. So no, I don't give him credit. The same way I don't give Bill Maher credit. You know, it's you can't every time a liberal says something normal go, oh, good for you. I love that. Wow. I'm impressed. No, it would have been cool if you had said it a year ago. Instead of encouraging people, basically, is what they were doing by staying silent, you're giving the nod or pretending that it's okay that people were trying to intimidate and bully Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. They got no backup from these people.
What?
But that's just Joe Scarborough's. He goes wherever the wind blows. You know, if he thinks he can go to Mar-a-Lago, get a free drink, he's there. If he thinks it's going to help his career to bash Trump, he's there. That's just what he does. All right, now back to the story. To nearly all the Democrats interviewed, the president's age, 79.
I'm now standing here because about 180 years ago when I first got elected to the Senate.
82 by the time the winner of the 2024 election is inaugurated, is a deep concern about his political viability.
So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
And David Axelrod makes some comments here about how taxing the job is for a president. Mr. Biden has repeatedly said that he expects to run again in 2024. But if he does not, there is little consensus about who would lead the party. Here are some people who get thrown around. Kamala Harris, who we'll play some sound from her in a little bit, because once again, everything she says is quote worthy, you know? Everything she says is something I'd get tattooed on my lower back. It is so beautiful. The wisdom that comes out of this woman is really something else. So we got Kamala Harris is an obvious one, the VP. I mean, it says she has a series of political hiccups. She also has a series of horrible polls that make Joe Biden's polls look promising. But hey, Democrats, don't let that stand in the way of choosing her. Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, all old people. Cory Booker of New Jersey, a.k.a. Spartacus, he's a little bit on the younger side. And Pete Buttigieg, who has not only overseen the supply chain crisis, but he's also done nothing as far as a host of different issues that the country has seen as transportation secretary. So he has a lot of failures under his belt, which I think could lead him to failing up to a very nice spot in the Oval Office. And the perpetually rising star, Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis. It's a real who's who of low poll numbers. None of these people were able to make a dent in 2020, but I'm sure their message will resonate more with people. Their pie in the sky ideas will resonate more with people now that no one can afford anything and gas is above $5 a gallon. Now's the time to bring in Beto. Now's the time that this rising star can finally peak. He can finally shine because it's just the right circumstances around it. 844-500-4242. We will keep going with this. And we also have a little surprise celebrity appearance in this article from Howard Dean. So you got that. You got that coming up. Hopefully that will hold you over to the next segment. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
In this same article from the New York Times, they have a quote from Cristobal Alex, who's a senior advisor, was a senior advisor for the Biden administration. And Mr. Alex thinks there's a different issue here. You know how some people were highlighting Joe's age or his failures so far as president. Mr. Alex has a different idea. He says, I am worried that leaders in the party aren't more aggressively touting the success of the administration. So this goes along with the report we saw recently. I believe it was from NBC News about the White House adrift, how Joe Biden was upset that more people weren't going on television to defend him. For some reason, that one really made me giggle. The narrative needs to shift, Mr. Alex said, and that can only happen with a powerful echo chamber combined with action in Congress on remaining policies. The American people feel unsettled. In other words, this is something we keep seeing over and over. The message is the problem. You know, it's not everything that he's doing.
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
He has no control over anything, and yet the message that's getting out there is not positive enough for him. Interesting. Now, Nikki Fried, that name might sound familiar. She is the person who's running against Ron DeSantis in Florida. She said, and I think this is kind of, this is the most insulting thing I've read in the article. She would welcome Mr. Biden to campaign with her in Florida. She has, by the way, I don't believe she has a shot at winning it. She would welcome him to campaign with her, but she stopped short of endorsing him for a second term. So even the candidates who are desperado for this guy to come campaign, because even they're so desperate that at this point they're thinking, you know, it can't hurt, right? The people who are doing well, the Democrats who are doing well, are very clear about, like, please, Joe, stay away. Stay far away. Social distance, sir. Do not come near this state. But even the desperate ones like Nikki Fried are saying, you can come, but I'm not going to endorse you. All right, when we come back, we're talking about gas prices, Gavin Newsom, crime, you name it, we got it. We'll be right back. It's Monday. This is The Grace Curley Show.